Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, the estate and tax planning attorney extraordinaire. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, we're continuing on this journey of faith. You've been discussing this the last few episodes and kind of
wrapping up
the series today.
Yeah. We're going to do one final session here. We have everything that we have done in the past back on our website at legacyandfaith.com. So I think this is number five for us. Does that sound correct?
That's about right. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an attorney. I'm not a mathematician. So you got to, usually I have to calculate these things. And so that's pretty good from my memory point. So all of our past discussions on the journey of faith have been our loaded up on our website. So again, legacyandfaith.com, you can go there. And really what we've been talking about in this journey of faith is discovering the jurisdictional authority, our jurisdictional spiritual authority that we have. And really, the word jurisdiction, it means the official power to make legal decisions and judgments. And we kind of started this journey of faith with the discussion of that God is really good. It's exactly who He is. It is the essence of everything He does. Every aspect and everything He does is out of a love for mankind. Mm. And this journey of faith has to start and it has to end with us being reminded of His astounding goodness.
Yes.
And His absolute love. Everything that He has done is a love story. Every action He takes is to beckon mankind back to Himself because He desires fellowship for those that He created. Everything that we have discussed in this journey of faith is a love story. And so how it kind of started was in Hebrews 2, 7, and 8, we find that God gave this jurisdiction authority to Adam. He crowned Adam with power and authority, with glory and honor. Mm. That glory and honor from Hebrews 2 is really that it's God's power and it's His anointing. It was His ability to speak on God's behalf and the anointing to make it come forth and happen for us. But we know in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent, and they believed that voice. So they stopped looking at the voice of God, and they turned their attention to the voice of the enemy. And in doing so, Adam gave that crown to the enemy, who now has control and dominion over this earth realm. Why is faith sometimes so difficult? Because we have a real enemy who has jurisdictional authority over this earth realm. And that is what we're really trying to break through in our faith journey. And so Adam and Eve gave their confidence and expectation away. They gave it away from God's purposes and plan to the voice of Satan himself. And in the same manner, we need to turn our faith back to God, because that is His entrance back into this earth realm. So God's love story is that He wants to manifest Himself through us. He wants to manifest His goodness, for it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. He wants to use our lives as a demonstration of His goodness and His love. But we need to turn our faith back to Him and allow Him that entrance back into the earth realm. So what we're really doing in prayer is that we are asking and creating a way for God to reassert His jurisdiction into this earth realm. See, without it, then Satan's jurisdiction must remain intact. It is God's righteousness. It is His way that He cannot intervene and just simply come into the earth realm. He would love to. And if He could, then we'd have no world hunger. We would have no disease. We'd have no death because God would reassert Himself. So there must be a reason why He doesn't. It's not because He is sovereign and has decided not to. it is not because God doesn't have the heart for mankind or he is working on some master plan. It's because he's looking for a way that he must legally enter into the earth realm and have a way to then manifest his kingdom authority back onto this earth realm. It would be very similar, for example, if our northern neighbors, our Canadian neighbors, if they would come and simply take residence back into Seattle. I mean, we've pretty much given them Bellingham, so that's fine. But in Seattle, if they came down and they started asserting their own rule of law, what would happen? Well, I think the U.S. government would have something to say about it. As a matter of fact, the state of Washington would have something to say about it as well. Why? Because a foreign sovereign has come into our country and they have begun to exercise their sovereign power in a place where it is not legal. And this is exactly the same thing of what Satan would say to God. If you do not have the proper avenue, in other words, faith, if someone has not turned their attention back to you and believed you for your promises, then you don't have the legal proper jurisdiction to come in and start manifesting your kingdom's authority. But when we have got that faith, when we have turned our whole heart back unto God, we open up a door for him to demonstrate his power and majesty through us. And we can then affect a dying world. And we have the legal way for God to then come back into the earth and demonstrate that love story through us. So it's interesting because there is a place that where Canada does get to exert their sovereignty in America. And it's called a consulate. So we know this idea, right? So a U.S. consulate overseas, they actually do not own the dirt that is in that country. That dirt actually belongs to the country itself. Take any country you want. But when we build that building, what has happened is that that country has said, we want you to exert your sovereignty in that portion of our country. So we will not impede upon that sovereignty. If we do, you have the right to defend that portion. As a matter of fact, there's been wars over people trying to breach U.S. embassies and things of this nature. Why? Because they are breaking through a rightful place where America can be, even though it's not their own soil. Mm. And that's what's happening on a spiritual level. God has an entrance way to be rightfully in this earth realm when he uses us. When we turn our faith and our attention towards his promises, believe him with our full hearts, that opens up the ability for God to demonstrate who he is and reassert his kingdom principles and reassert his kingdom power in the place that actually is not under his dominion and control right now. So that's our journey of faith. And this is a critical aspect of our journey. As a matter of fact, this is why I think many individuals have disappointed faith, is that we haven't understood the spiritual battle behind our asking and our prayer. We ask God, Lord, come and heal me. Lord, help provide for me. Help fix my marriage. Give me that mental peace, that emotional peace. Whatever we are crying out to the Lord for, there are several things that interrupt the ability for God to demonstrate his full sovereign power and authority so that we can reap and that harvest that the word talks about. And that goes back to the first show, which is God is good. He can't break his word. He is watching over his word to perform it. So this is where oftentimes when I've looked at even my own life and I've gone through and I've questioned God, why didn't this happen? Why didn't I see your power and authority? I see the promise, but I don't see the full manifestation. There was a missing understanding that I didn't persevere through the entire faith process. And I didn't have my faith fully aligned. As a matter of fact, it says in Romans that Adam, he was our example, right? That he was fully persuaded in God, fully persuaded that what God has said he will perform, and that by that he received the promise. And that's really our definition of faith, is are our hearts fully persuaded so that our full attention has come back to God, and by that act, we have opened up the door to allow him to manifest his full authority. But in that, in Romans 4, let me find it here as I'm talking and I'm not looking at my Bible. It says, "And not being weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body dead, and nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." It's a really important aspect. In the journey, are we turning our faith towards the praise of God? Praise is where God inhabits his people. Turn your faith towards praise. As a matter of fact, faith without works is dead. Your actions will demonstrate what you are believing, and what comes out of your mouth, of whether it's praise or concern, will demonstrate whether your heart is fully aligned with believing the promise of God. And in verse 21, it goes on in Romans to say, "And being fully persuaded," there it is, "that what God had promised, he was able to perform." And so we need to look at this discussion piece of why have I experienced some disappointed faith? And when I experience that disappointment, what is my response to it? So I want to kind of untangle a little bit of this disappointed faith aspect. All of us have asked God to come into our lives, and we wanted him to perform some type of function or some promise that we saw in the Word. And all of us have been in a place to where it didn't happen. Every one of us has experienced that we asked God and it didn't happen. And then it takes us on a journey of questioning, well, maybe the Word was wrong. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I didn't quite understand it. Maybe God doesn't do exactly what he says every single time. Now, my encouragement to you is to doubt your doubts and not doubt the Word of God. So I'm going to say that again. I encourage you, doubt your doubts. Don't doubt God. So when I have a doubt and I start questioning, God, why didn't I see the manifestation? Instead of going back and changing the Word of God to match my circumstances, I want to change what happened to me. I want to doubt my own thinking and get it to realign back to God's Word. And so we need to have a little bit of a discussion here after the break. We're going to walk into a quick break of what does it mean to then to persevere in our faith. There's a lot of scripture here of concerning persevering in faith. And so let's unpack that a little bit. Let's find out that what perseverance does is it leads us to the road of receiving the fruit that we are hoping for from God's promise.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant, The Journey of Faith, this week continuing. Need to take a quick break, but if people are intrigued, they, I don't know, want maybe to have them come speak at their church and mix in some Bible teaching with some of your other expertise
in
estate and tax planning. I know you always do. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com. All of our podcasts, the ability to get in contact with us by email. Some basic educational classes are coming up. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of Paul Grant's The Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of The Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Monday, September 10th at 12 p.m. noon. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head on over to our website at legacyandfaith.com and register for our next educational session on Monday, September 10th at 12 p.m. noon. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Definitely applying those biblical principles this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, wrapping up the Journey of Faith series with Paul and the perseverance of faith right now. Just before the break, that was an intriguing statement you said about doubt your doubts, but don't doubt God.
That's right. Yeah, it's really a common thing that that unfortunately, I think it's our human nature to question. And God's not intimidated by questions. He wants us to investigate. He wants us to question. And he wants to assist us with his wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the Word. But where we come into danger is when we start questioning that the promise that he's given may not be exactly as I'm reading it in the Word, versus coming back and saying, well, what is it possible that I played a role in kind of stubbing God's ability to fully manifest himself through me? And that would be my proposition, is that a high majority of the time, I have found that it's user error. I think that if there's either myself to blame or God to blame, I probably know which side of the spectrum to go towards first, which is to me. And that's a difficult thing to think about, is that I need to take responsibility for my understanding of the Word, my time and commitment in the Word to understand his promises, and then the ability to persevere through that. So let's take a crack at a couple of scriptures here that are very important. First of all, in James chapter 1, verse 2, it goes on to say, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So that word right there, patience, is really the key word that is found in all of these next scriptures I'm going to read. It's the same exact Greek word by five different authors, actually by six, because it's found also in Luke, where Jesus spoke it. So in six different voices, six different places of the Bible, this one Greek word is found, and it is called patience in the King James. And what it means is to have cheerful endurance or consistency. Now, the unfortunate part is that in my human nature, I would really like to have everything right now. As a matter of fact, we live in a great microwave age. So my kind of morning habit is that I make a pot of coffee, and then I turn off the pot of coffee after a couple half a cups, because I don't want the warmer to continue to bitter the coffee. But what the privilege I have nowadays is I can go back and I can fill up my cup and I can throw it in, and 30 seconds later, I'm drinking a warm cup of coffee again. 30 seconds is all I had to wait for that. And that's kind of the mentality this day and age gives us, is that not many of us are farmers. Not many of us understand the perseverance it takes to actually get to a final work product. And we expect things in God's kingdom to happen overnight, and that's simply just not going to be the case. As a matter of fact, the enemy has the legal jurisdiction to test your faith. He has the legal jurisdiction to say, are you going to actually stay true to what you just received? The word that your family is going to be saved, the word that you are going to be healed, the word that your bills are going to be paid, the word that you're going to have more than enough. Whatever that word is, the enemy has the legal jurisdiction, because we live in his realm, to come and put pressure upon that word. And it is in the endurance, it is in the cheerful endurance, not just endurance, but cheerful endurance. We go back to that word of praise, that cheerful endurance that allows us then to have the full manifestation of what we are believing for. As a matter of fact, this scripture here in James says that let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I don't know about you, but I would really like to lack nothing in this life.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't talking about heaven. This is talking about our journey of walking here and now. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Why? Because we need that wisdom, because our own desires, our own perceptions of how we treat and see the world, they're going to come into view. But God's wisdom can override that as we stay focused on his word. But if we doubt, okay, let him ask in faith with no doubting. So that comes back to exactly our definition in Romans 4. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, because if you doubt, you're like the sea driven by the wind, and you will not receive anything, is what the word says when he's double-minded. In other words, double-minded, I'm believing the things of the earth and I'm trying to believe things of the spiritual kingdom simultaneously. The earth will always win out. And so we need to be fully persuaded to turn our faith towards God. Romans 5:3-4, it says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience. There it is again, patience in tribulation. Hebrews 12:1, that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangle us, and run with patience. There it is again, that same word, to joyfully endure, as because it goes on to say that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Why was it joy? Because he saw the promise that God had given him. He saw that the journey, even if it was going to be difficult, would produce an exact result. And he wasn't moved by the earthly issues that he was facing. He wasn't swayed by so many people being sick, some people dying, even his friend dying. He called him back forth. And even though he was beaten and stricken, he endured the cross for the joy. The joy is that when we are fully persuaded, we understand that the full manifestation of God's promises will be ours in this lifetime, here and now, because it is that joy, it is that manifestation of the promise that is demonstrated through our lives that cries out, God is good. What parts of your life are crying out to a dying world that says God is good? What parts of your life? Is it through health? Is it through monetary wealth that you may have? Is it through great relationships in your life? Is it that God has delivered you from addictions? These things cry out to a dying world that God is good, and that's what he wants. When we are fully persuaded, when we endure for the joy that is set before us, that we see the absolute, unwavering promise of God, that it is going to be manifested, that's our joy. And it is that joy that allows us to walk through the endurance part of this. Very quickly, and as kind of a couple closing comments of this journey of faith. Number one, I hope that this has been an encouragement to you, to give you wisdom and understanding that this is a spiritual battle that we need to engage in. It's a spiritual battle that God has given to us. And that crown of glory and honor is to be setting upon us when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. That is the first step. Give your life full-heartedly to Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you shall be saved. It is a radical concept that I can give my brokenness to an astoundingly good God, and he gives himself back to me. By that act, I have the ability, by faith, by being fully persuaded in God's word and his promises, to see the manifestation of him going through my life to a dying world. Very quickly in Matthew 18 is the parable of the sower and the seed. Don't have all the time to read it, of course, because I talk a lot and there's now no more time. So we're going to get the brief rendition of this, which is that, first of all, Jesus said, if you don't understand this one parable. How are you going to understand virtually anything else in our kingdom? Go back and look at that in Mark chapter 4. But I'm going to use Matthew chapter 13. It says that, first of all, when the seed, in other words, God's word comes at our hearts, that the enemy comes and tries to pick it off. Number one, you got to pass the test of the word test. You have to know the promises of God. And then from there, that word will spring up with joy. We have to pass the root test. We have to know the word, that we have our roots in Jesus Christ and can understand exactly what that is going to produce. We have to build our roots in him. And finally, we have to pass the patience test. And that's what we've been talking about today. We have to pass the patience test with joy. And when we go through that process, the full manifestation of Jesus Christ that we long for, that we see in the Word, that we know should be ours as believers, will come to pass. So don't shortchange this journey of faith. It is critical to every aspect of our lives. It is critical for the kingdom of God to be manifested through us. And that is God's love story.
Okay, it's the journey of faith last few weeks with Paul Grant. Some of his heart, and as interesting, being an attorney, bringing out a lot of the legal ramifications of our faith. I think that's been really interesting.
Good.
So people can listen to previous parts of this. They're all on your website. What's that again?
That's right, legacyandfaith.com. Mm-hmm. Podcast, not just to this journey of faith, but also to our estate planning. We're going to start picking that back up next week as we're going to come back full circle to estate planning, and we're going to take another crack at that.
Okay, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, once again here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.